pleasure to be with you, brethren, this afternoon and this weekend. I'm thankful God has given us this time together and thankful for the congregation for hosting the meeting and thankful for all those who have taken part and the excellent lessons that we've heard. This afternoon, the title that we will be considering for our last lesson is, What is Truth? Before we look for the answer to that question, we must think about what a serious question this is. When you ask what is truth, do you really want to know what the truth is? When you ask what is truth, why do you want to know what is the truth? When you ask what is truth, what will you do if you find it? And when you ask this question, can you handle the truth? This is the most serious quest that we will ever make, to find out what the truth is. The truth, simply put, is reality. It's the way things really are. It isn't the way I would like things to be. It isn't what I decided beforehand in my mind what the truth would be. It is the way things really are. So when you pursue the truth, be prepared to accept it when you find it. This is the quest of your life. Proverbs 23 and 23, the wise man said, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and don't ever sell it." This is the quest you and I must pursue. It's the greatest shopping trip you will ever make. You must go looking for the truth. You know what shop? Shop means to look. That's what it means. Doesn't mean to buy. It means to look. Shop means to look. When you look for the truth, be prepared to buy it. Be prepared to pay anything for it because it's worth it. Be prepared to pay for it with your life if necessary because it's worth it. Buy the truth and sell it not. This is the quest we are on. And the answer to the question, what is truth, is found in the theme that was chosen for our meeting this weekend. The truth is found in Christ Jesus, looking to the Son. The reason for that, of course, is by virtue of His He's the Creator. God created everything through Jesus, Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, whether visible or invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Everything's held together by Christ. He is the truth. He's where we came from. We were made for Him. That is the reality of things. And this is not a bad reality unless we have the wrong ideas in our head. Unless we're looking at the wrong things, this is a wonderful truth. Jesus is where we find the truth. Jesus is the source, and He's the one we want to look to. What we want to talk about is looking for the truth in Christ, and we want to encourage all of us to make that quest. Don't give up. If you haven't started, get started looking for the truth. If you have started and are getting tired, don't give up. Keep looking for the truth. Jesus is where it's found, and once you find the Lord, you'll find that there's even more to find out about Him. There's even more truth to be gained. And that's what's wonderful about the truth. Jesus made everything, and when we begin looking for Him, we find out that this quest is certainly the most important thing in our life. In John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, a passage that I think is familiar to most of us. Notice what it says here about this search for the truth. Jesus is explaining here that he has come into the world and he is the light. And here is the condemnation, John 3:19. This is the condemnation that light has come into this world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. See what stops the search? There's the light. The light doesn't blind you. It doesn't back you into a corner and force you to make a choice. But there's the light. Do I want to come to it? Do I want to know the truth? Do I want to know more about that light? The condemnation, what will condemn me, what will condemn you, is whether or not we stay in the darkness or go to the light. Our salvation depends upon this, this quest for the truth. Verse 20, everyone that does evil, their deeds are evil, everyone who does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That's what keeps people from looking for the truth. They're afraid that the truth will reveal what's wrong with them. But if I love the truth, I want to know what's wrong with me, so I can fix it. We've got to learn to hate our evil deeds and love the good. Verse 21 is wonderful. He that does truth. He that does truth. You know, it's interesting about that. It's saying that before a person comes to Christ, they can still be doing the truth. Now, that's not going to save them, but it's pointing them in the right direction. It kind of knocks out the idea of total depravity, doesn't it? They're doing the truth, and they come to the light. Why? Because he that does truth comes to light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. See, if you're already pursuing the truth, you have nothing to be afraid of. You are interested in doing what's right. You're interested in being right in God's sight. So this pursuit of truth is a wonderful thing. And it's critical, as we just saw here from what Jesus said, because it will determine whether or not I'm saved. I can choose to stay in the dark and not look for the truth, but I condemn myself by doing that. I'm already condemned. But if I choose to go to the light, be brave, and go to the light and be ready with the price, whatever it takes, then I'm going to be saved. That's the way God has set it up. That's the search that we must begin. When we begin this search, brethren and friends, one of the first problems we run into is our evil deeds. What about my evil deeds? What about my sins? Am I going to hold on to them? Or am I going to overcome them? Okay, well, the person who's trying to do truth will usually say, I'm going to overcome my evil deeds. John chapter 1 and verse 17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Many people will attempt to come to the Lord through the law. I know. Just tell me what I'm supposed to do. You got a list or something? Let me keep that list, and I'll be all right. Well, that's what God gave to Israel through Moses. How'd they do? They didn't keep it, as Stephen told them. You received it by the disposition of angels, and you haven't kept it. Which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted? See, they didn't do very well with the law. And even Paul said that. Paul said, that's why we obeyed the gospel, is because we were recognizing that we weren't keeping the law. Paul said he was having trouble with that 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. It just seemed to bring out more covetousness in him. So what's John telling us in John 1 and 17? He's saying, the law came by Moses, and that showed us our sins. It showed us how sinful we are, but grace and truth came through Christ Jesus. There's the new and the living way. There's the way to find the truth, to find the reality of a fellowship with Christ Jesus. It won't be through the law, because we will fail, because our flesh is weak. Not because the law is wrong, but because we have a great problem. So in seeking the truth, brethren, we have to deal with our sins and recognize that there needs to be a solution for them. Again, the truth is in Christ Jesus. He came and gave himself a ransom for us. In him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's the truth. It isn't because I did everything right. It's because of what Jesus did. And that's the truth. That's a part of our quest. As we search for truth, brethren and friends, we need to recognize that there are two kinds of seekers. We want to be like the second kind of seeker. The first kind of seeker is the one that asks the question in our lesson. You remember who asked what is truth? That was Pilate when Jesus was before him. And Jesus had mentioned that everyone who is of the truth hears my voice and they come to me. Everyone that's of the truth. And what was Pilate's response? What is truth? And we don't know exactly how he said it, but he probably said it like a lot of people still say it today. Truth? What is the truth? Oh, you think you know the truth? Oh, you got a monopoly on the truth? Oh, you think you know the truth? Well, however Pilate asked this question, he didn't stay around for the answer. That's what you've got to do if you're looking for the truth. If you're shopping in earnest for the truth, you must be ready to stick around for the answer, because it's not going to come instantly. You're not going to say, oh, now I know all the truth. You never get to that point. But you've got to know where it is. You've got to know where to keep digging, where to keep looking. Pilate would not stick around for the truth. We don't want to be like Pilate. We've got to come with the price in our hand, and we've got to be willing to pay it. We need to be like the other kind of seeker, who I have chosen as Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, because I love the way he described this to the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 10, when he's describing what happened and how he saw the vision and that he was told to send for Peter. See, this is a man seeking the truth, isn't it? Cornelius did not stop at being a devout Gentile. Well, you know, I'm really a pretty devout Gentile. I'm really better than most people I know. He didn't stop at that because he knew that wasn't right. That's not the truth. He knew there was something he needed, and God showed him. And so Cornelius did the work of sending for him. We need to get a hold of Peter. We need to find him. See, brethren, this is a seeker for truth. Many times we try to make people seek the truth. We try to put the truth in front of them. Here's the truth. Don't you want to see the truth? This is right. Well, it doesn't matter how right it is. It's kind of like telling somebody, oh, I heard the funniest joke. This is hilarious. You're going to laugh your head off when you hear this. Well, they probably won't, because you just set them up to do the opposite. No, a person has to desire the truth, like Cornelius. And I love what Cornelius said here in Acts chapter 10. He said, the passage is 29, verse 33. And verse 33, he said, now therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Isn't that good? And say, well, we're here to hear what we'd kind of like to hear, you know. We've kind of got this idea in our mind. We're just wondering if you'll kind of verify it for us. No, they said, we're here to hear whatever God has commanded you to tell us. That's all we want to know. What did God tell you to command us? That's what we want to do. That's the earnest, sincere seeker of truth. And that's what we have to be. We can't be argumentative. We can't be contentious. We can't be resisting the truth and saying, well, I don't know about that. Well, that could be. Well, that might be. No, we need to say, I want to know what the truth is. And then we're like Cornelius, and we gladly receive it when it comes. We need to be like Cornelius when we seek, and part of that, a key element of that, is the fear of the Lord that Brother Tom talked about. You can't find the Lord unless you have the fear of the Lord. You have to have this godly reverence and awe of him that is greater than any awe that you have, greater than any value you have in your mind. You have to have that in order to look for truth. You also have to have love, love of the truth, the love of the truth. It's described for us in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, when Paul talks about how the man of sin is going to be revealed. when the church falls away. And the man of sin is going to have a lot of influence because there's going to be a lot of people who receive not the love of the truth. So if you don't want the truth, what's your other option? That's right. It has to be a lie. I mean, lie is a harsh term, but that's all it is if it's not the truth. Okay, I don't want the truth. Okay, here's all the lies. That's your only other options, is lies. God shall send them strong delusion. So they'll feel good. They'll feel good about it. If you don't want the truth, well, at least you can feel good about your lie. Strong delusion. Or as the Southern preacher said, he'll send them a strong solution. Because that's what it is. It's a solution. It's a solution to their search. I found it. I found it. It's in this book. And the book they're holding is not the Bible. Or it's in this man. Yeah, this man. The smartest man I ever met. He's got the truth. But he doesn't really. The truth is in Christ Jesus, not in any of these other sources. When we're looking for the truth, brethren, we need to look in the right places. We need to look in the Word of God. Unfortunately, many people will look to man, and that's why they'll never find the truth. They will be exactly like the account in Matthew chapter 16 where Jesus speaks to the disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Well, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're another one of the prophets. Well, where did all that come from? It didn't come from the truth, did it? It was not the truth. It was man's thinking. You know, John the Baptist was a really great guy. I think that's who Jesus is. We know that Herod thought that out of guilt. There are all kinds of motivations, all kinds of biases and prejudices that lead us down the wrong path. We don't find the truth because we go follow these other paths, our own feelings. Maybe it was mother that thought that Jesus was John the Baptist. And my mother was one of the most saintly women that there ever was. Maybe it was my father that thought he was Jeremiah. Yeah, that's good. Jeremiah. Excuse me. And maybe it was my grandpa, who was one of the most godly men I ever knew. He thought he was Elijah. No wonder people are confused. They're going by what other people thought. And they won't take the time to buy the truth for themselves. To see let's see what the Bible says. Let's see what the Bible says instead of what my family said or what my neighbors said or what the preacher said. The preachers hold so much power because, well, haven't they studied the Bible? Don't they know the Bible? Well, not always. In a lot of cases, you can be a preacher and never have to study the Bible. There's lots of seminaries that will make you a preacher, and you didn't really have to study much Bible. Just had to learn some psychology, some social skills, and things like this, and that you're a preacher. So don't trust them for the knowledge of God's will. You and I have been given the revelation that we can read for ourselves. We can understand it, as Paul told the Ephesians when he wrote to them in Ephesians chapter 3. No, we need to look at God's will and realize that we need to look in God's mirror. We all remember that fable about the evil queen who said, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" Well, she had a prejudiced mirror, a mirror that was trying to stay in her good graces. So the mirror was always telling her what she wanted to hear, but it wasn't the truth. It wasn't the truth. So we have to ask, as one of the brethren asked in their lesson this weekend, which mirror are you going to look into? We should always choose the mirror of God's Word. The truth is what's going to set us free. John 17:17, when Jesus told the disciples, when he prayed to the Father, sanctify them through your Word, through your truth. Your Word is truth. When you start looking for the truth, it's going to set you apart, isn't it? You'll be different, because most people aren't looking for the truth. They've already found their strong solution, and they're happy with it. But when you look for the truth, you're set apart. And Jesus says it's the Word that's the truth. So start paying attention to the Word of God. James 1 and 25, whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, that's an allusion to a mirror, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You will be rewarded for your search for truth. When you keep looking in the mirror, when you look in the mirror and you say, oh, I missed a place, I better fix that. Instead of saying, oh, well, I missed a place. I know, don't tell me I missed a place. No, you fix it. God wants us to be that way with the truth. We fix it when we see what's wrong as it's reflected in the Word of God. And then in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 8 through the end of the chapter, the Apostle Paul told us there that now we're looking in a glass darkly, but then face to face. It says, now I know in part. And he said earlier, we prophesy in part. We just don't know everything yet. But then I will know even as I also am known. Isn't that good to know? Right now, a lot of us are misunderstood. Does anybody feel like they're misunderstood? Yeah, a lot of us feel like we're misunderstood, don't we? My wife doesn't understand me. My kids don't understand me. People at work don't appreciate me. Well, in the end, everything's going to come out. You may be right, but you might be wrong too. Maybe they do understand you. And that's the problem. One of the difficult things is to understand ourselves. One of the hardest things is to find the truth about ourselves. I remember talking to a member of the church who'd been divorced 3 times, and he made an interesting statement. He said, you know, I'm beginning to wonder if it's me. It's hard to look at ourselves. It's hard to admit, you know, maybe I'm the one that has the problem. Maybe I'm the one that needs to correct myself. Instead of thinking about, oh, you need to correct this, and you need to take care of this problem. Maybe I should take care of my problems like Jesus told us to. Straighten out this beam in my own eye. But it's hard to see that because we're biased. We're prejudiced.
If I know where the ropes are, I'll break them. This is... This is kind of adapting Maslow's pyramid.
But I think this will help us to understand our search for truth. This is dealing with how we relate to people. This is the physical level, the carnal level. This is mentally, and this is spiritually. This is the highest right here. This is the best relationship you can have with anybody is if you're on the same page spiritually. But you can relate to a lot of people physically. They look nice. They have a nice voice. They smell good. You enjoy being around them. So, yeah, we get along okay. But that's a kind of a shallow relationship, isn't it? And then you can go up a notch, and we think a lot alike. We look at things the same way. But you can still have that agreement and still not agree spiritually. This is the best right here, when you can find somebody you agree with spiritually. Well, this is one of the reasons it's hard for us to find the truth, is because most of us tend to stay down here. If you stay at the rudimentary level, you will never know all the truth. You will only know what you know by your senses. You will be like the people Jude described in Jude 10. These speak evil of the things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. They speak evil of spiritual things. They speak evil of good things because they don't know them. You make fun of things you don't understand. You just laugh about it. You say, oh, that's funny. But they stick around down here and they never really know the full truth. All they know is about feelings. Well, feelings are real, but feelings are not the truth. They're not the whole truth. Marriages are broken up. Families are destroyed. Relationships are hurt because people just go by their feelings. They say, well, this is the truth. How I feel is the way, that's the way it is. No, what about this? What about this? There's the spiritual aspect as well. A person who stays down on the rudimentary, basic, carnal level only has the wisdom that is from below. The carnal, sensual, devilish wisdom. It's based on feelings. It's based on the desires of the flesh. It's based on pride. And you'll never know the truth unless you're willing to go up. You know, it's interesting. This explains something about love. And Brother Jay talked to us yesterday about love. An excellent lesson. People misunderstand love. They understand love between a man and a woman. And they think that a man and a man and a woman and a woman can have physical love. In other words, they can have sexual relationship. And unfortunately, they do that because they stay down at this level. It's real interesting. It's helped me understand love a lot. You remember Jonathan and David in the Bible? Remember the Bible said that they were so close that they loved one another as their own soul. Jonathan loved David just as much as he loved himself. And the Bible said, David, when he was mourning for Jonathan, when he died, he said, my love for you surpassed the love of women. Well, the carnal mind doesn't understand the truth of that statement. All they can think of is impure thoughts. But when you understand spiritual things, you understand that David and Jonathan related to each other as two souls. As two people made in the image of God. And really, that's the way a husband and wife can relate too. It's possible they can relate that way too. But it seems from what David is saying that of all the men and all the women he knew, and he'd been married at that point, but of all the women he knew, he was closer to Jonathan in spirit. In spirit. That's the truth. This is the great relationship right here, is whether we have this spiritual relationship. It's true with God, isn't it? What kind of a relationship do you have with God on the physical level? Not much. You can enjoy His blessings. Oh, I like the food God made. I like God's creation. It looks wonderful. But that's not a very deep relationship with God. We need to go on up to the next level. We need to go up to a spiritual relationship. The eighth chapter of Romans, remember, tells us that to be carnally minded is death, because you'll never know the truth. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's where the real life is being spiritually minded. And that's how we have spiritual life, is that we're one with God in the Spirit. This is the truth. And that's what we have to look for. We can't be content with a rudimentary relationship. This is the problem in religion as well. When you read the second chapter of Colossians, you'll find that the Apostle Paul is warning the brethren there against following the things that are after the rudiments of men, the philosophies of men, the enticing words, the vain deceits. They're based upon carnal things. Many people want to turn the truth of God's religion into something carnal. Brethren, beware of that. Beware of that. Beware of what they've done, like to this very day. They've turned this day into a religious holiday. And how much of the truth is revealed in their religious holiday? No, the truth is covered up. It's suppressed by man's traditions. Chocolate bunnies filled with stuff that's bad for you. And where is the truth? Where's the truth? I don't see the truth. That's the tendency of man, and that's what suppresses the truth. We stay down here. We keep it down here instead of going up and seeing the unseen. Do you know that most of the truth is unseen? Most of the truth you will never see with your eyes. You will see it in your mind. You will understand it and perceive it. Now, in your quest for the truth, brethren, do not let the false professors discourage you from finding the truth. The first chapter of Romans said that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against those that suppress the truth in unrighteousness. One translation says smother the truth. King James says they hold the truth. Satan's tactic, he doesn't want you to find the truth. He doesn't want you to find it. So he will suppress it in unrighteousness. He'll cover it up with man's traditions and man's doctrines, and you'll never see it.